to another exciting episode of National People Radio on the Republic Broadcasting Network, republicbroadcasting.org. It is either the London Bridge of free speech, or maybe it's the dismal swamp of free speech, one or the other. It's not falling down like London Bridge, but it is noisy with frogs like the dismal swamp. At any rate, go to republicbroadcasting.org, click on the donate button, and send badly needed fundage. Also, download the co-certified app from nationalbugle.com. It's totally awesome. Back to you, Andy.
Thank you, Patrick. Yes, indeed. And it's a pleasure to be with both Patrick and Paul, who both got their own shows on RBN, Patrick's National Bugle Radio, as I said, and Paul's Last Man Standing, which is the closing show on Sunday nights, which is probably my favourite night on RBN. You've got Steve Elkins, and you've got the same Simon with Giuseppe and Scorpio, then you've got Robert Ravel, then you've got Paul's show. Sorry, I'm thinking, of course, during the week as well. You've got other great shows, but you've got this big bank of broadcasting, and I find it very difficult to get a lot of shows over the weekend, so it's good to have all these guys putting in the work on the weekend, so it gives me something to listen to on the Monday. But that being said, we've got a bit of a sort of open show today. I've got an article I'm going to kick off with because I saw it on the Daily Mail on Monday. It's quite an interesting piece, but I'll read some of it for you and then I'll hand over to both Patrick and Paul for their comments. The headline is the West End going broke because it's gone all woke? Oh, there's my bell. A Prince Charming who spurned cinders for the Duke. Actually, before we get into this, I'm going to have to get this door. It's going mad today. Paul, could you come in with your comments about Russia? There's been things happening recently.
Well, yeah. Last week, in fact, I was talking to Patrick about it, which on Thursday. You've had Biden, you know, with an additional, or it might actually be part of that original monstrosity of $53 billion that the U.S. has sent over to Russia. But part of that was, there was $700 million package of U.S. rocket systems, M142 HIMARS, whatever that means, and M270 HIMARS systems, which they do have a range of up to 300 kilometers, but the Ukrainians say they won't target Russia directly with these things, and apparently they're not going to use them for more than 80 kilometers range or whatever. The UK has also promised more weapon systems to Russia. Germany, in a complete farce, the Chancellor there, Scholz, also promised anti-aircraft systems, an IST system, ground-based air defense system, which then their minister of defense, one of their defense chiefs, came out and said they don't actually have the weapons. So in response to that, Putin has warned. He did an interview recently. It's his first actual interview. You know, I know he's done some public addresses, but he did an interview on Russia TV, one of the networks over there, and he warned the West about this, and he said that there will be other attacks on other areas if they continue to do this. And he said, in general, all this fuss about additional arms supplies, in my opinion, has only one goal: to drag out the armed conflict as long as possible, which would be consistent with our view of it and anybody who's informed on it. That's the whole idea. But he said it was nothing new. And he said, if these weapons continue to be supplied, we will draw appropriate conclusions from this and use our weapons, of which we have more than enough to strike at those targets that we are not striking yet. He said, we've already entered into a protracted war and we will need constant support. The West must understand that its help cannot be a one-time thing. So this is the Ukraine's deputy minister in response to this. They're basically saying, you know, we're getting this constant support. And he said the West must understand that its help cannot be a one-time thing, but something that continues until our victory. So they're just doubling down as well. You know, they're keeping this rhetoric going from the Ukraine in response to what Putin said. But Kiev was struck last night by, I think it was about half a dozen long-range missiles from a Russian ship based in the Black Sea. So Kiev has been hit. So again, Putin has been good for his word. So I thought that's interesting, because we haven't heard from Putin yet. As I say, that's a response. Those strikes, presumably, will be attempting to take out some of those weapon systems in Kiev, I imagine. Of course, it still leaves the possibility of this thing escalating, rather than, you know, Putin just getting his goals met there, and the Ukraine having the good sense to, you know, to actually indulge in some proper diplomacy. So I think that's quite interesting. As I say, there was, and I think that those attacks, they will be viewed as Putin being good for his word, basically, you know. So I think that's quite an interesting story.
Yeah, thank you, Paul. Patrick, any thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I've been following the Soviet Union and Russia for decades, since the early 1980s, through Hélène Carrière-Doncas, I guess she's actually Georgian, but she writes in French, through Stephen F. Cohen, through Moshe Levin, through Fumio Uda, others. And so I feel I've got a fair background. And then this war in particular, I've been following it. I think Alexander Mercolis does an excellent job. I monitor RT and Sputnik. And there was never any prospect that Ukraine was going to win this war. This war was launched by, you know, a group of people in the State Department and their allies in the media, in order to overthrow Vladimir Putin. They have an agenda against Vladimir Putin. It's a vendetta against Vladimir Putin for reasons that I've discussed in previous other broadcasts. And the idea is to use Ukraine. Basically, it's just a sacrificial pawn to have lots and lots of death in Ukraine so that Putin can be vilified to the international community. And therefore, you can get everyone on board with crippling economic sanctions. So the war that they're trying to win is not the war in Ukraine. The war they're trying to win is an economic war against Russia in order to prompt the Russian people to overthrow Vladimir Putin. That was the whole idea of this from the start. And it's not working. And, you know, the military objective was never going to work. And from, you know, pretty much day one, it was absolutely clear that China was not going along with it. And without China going along, there was no prospect for destroying the Russian economy, because Russia could reroute its energy exports and other exports to China. And of course, it's not just that China didn't go along with it. India didn't go along. Pakistan wasn't going along. I don't know about the new government. Indonesia. These are huge countries. Bangladesh. The entire Asian continent, South Asia, nobody's going along with it. And so Russia's not going to lose. I mean, there was never any prospect of it to lose militarily. It was going to meet its objectives, which the longer this war goes on, the larger the objectives wind up becoming. But it's also not going to lose the economic war. That's already clear. And I think at this point, we're just waiting for the other shoe to drop. And you are seeing Ukrainian troops surrender. You know, you saw it in Mariupol. You're seeing it elsewhere in the Donbass. You're seeing surrender of Ukrainian troops. You're seeing, the collapse of morale in the Ukrainian army. And I am just waiting for some Ukrainian generals to overthrow Vladimir Zelensky. At this point, I don't think Zelensky has an off-ramp. Victoria Nuland at the State Department does not have an off-ramp. And there's, imagine being a Ukrainian general and just seeing, you know, not just young men, but at this point, middle-aged men, just being thrown into a meat grinder with absolutely no prospect of, you know, any kind of military victory. And I would imagine that at some point there is going to be a group of generals who are just going to dismiss Vladimir Zelensky and take the initiative themselves and negotiate terms with the Russians while they still can and while there's still something to be salvaged, some sort of Ukrainian state, some sort of rump Ukrainian state. So that is the way I'm seeing things right now.
Thank you, Patrick. Paul, any comments on that?
Well, there's a lot there. I think it's interesting that, you know, these economic sanctions are not really working. They're damaging the European nations, particularly Germany and the rest of Europe. Of course, the media is not covering it, but there are a lot of protests in Europe against this. In Greece, I know there's definitely a lot of protests there. I think something like 60% of in some poll in Greece, 60% of people there said that they didn't want the Greek government sending any more aid packages and weaponry or any kind of support to the Ukraine. I think that's largely ubiquitous in the European nations, but it's not been covered. But, you know, as Patrick said, I mean, the whole global South is not behind this. I mean, we are so provincial here in the West, and those, of course, who pull the strings in the media in the West assume that the, you know, the Western, the European nations are the whole world, and that is just not the case. So you don't even have this united support for these packages and weapons being sent into the Ukraine or what's happening there from the Europeans, you know, like this kind of unity that they like to portray. And you certainly don't have it in the whole global South. You don't have India supporting it. You don't have China supporting it. You don't have a lot of the African nations supporting it because they are suffering as well. Because of the sanctions and taking Russia off the SWIFT system, it's affecting exports from Russia. You know,
the Africans will experience famine. And exactly. You have the head of the African Union, I believe the president of Senegal, who's the chair of it right now, in Moscow a couple of days ago, trying to negotiate some sort of way of getting Russian food exports.
Exactly. So it's affecting them. It's only accelerated, I believe, the extraction from these from the world reserve currency. It's interesting that I think it was Germany and one of the other, maybe Italy, have now accepted to pay for any Russian oil that they do receive in rubles. So this is very counterintuitive and counterproductive for the European nations, but it seems that there's some very irrational behavior here. It seems this hatred of Putin and this Tunnel vision to weaken Putin to the point that there's somehow regime change there. This, it seems to my mind, to be outside the realms of reality. And I don't think anybody looking on who's remotely informed or remotely, you know, mature can understand this. This seems to be the behavior of some very aggressive, irrational people led by the United States and Western media who seem to believe that they, you know, have a right to do what they want when they want, regardless of what the rest of the world and Vladimir Putin and China and India and Africa think. Well, this is just not living in reality. And I think they're overreaching here, and this is going to backfire in so many ways. So, I mean, it's actually quite fascinating to watch it, really, because it's just this aggression towards Russia, tunnel vision, regardless of reality.
Yeah, absolutely. Patrick, anything else before we move on to our next topic?
Well, yeah, I think You see, I think that this plan, we can look at it now and say this plan to regime change Putin through an economic war that would be, where you would use a physical war in Ukraine in order to get support for this economic war. It seems kind of harebrained in retrospect. I think this was something that would have happened very early in Hillary Clinton's term. And it might have, you know, if this had been done soon enough, it might have worked. Because as every year passes by, China's economic prowess becomes greater. Russia has since 2014, or even 2013, since the sanctions started, it's been trying to sanction-proof its economy. And the four-year interregnum of Donald Trump gave it four extra years to move forward with this. And, you know, people forget, but on his inauguration day, the very first thing he did was fire Victoria Nuland. That was his very first act as president. And, of course, Biden brought her back. Now, Biden and Victoria Nuland had been very close. I know Vice President Biden was a frequent visitor to Victoria Nuland's office. Biden was tapped by President Obama as the viceroy of Ukraine, as Stephen F. Cohen used to refer to it. But of course, he had no expert knowledge. Victoria Nuland had the expert knowledge. And so they were very close. He brought her back. And I think she figured, well, I mean, she had these plans that were all prepared when she was, you know, in office as the Assistant Secretary of State for European and Eurasian Affairs. And, you know, there had been a lot of talk that she would have been Hillary Clinton's Secretary of State. I think this is something that she wanted to do 4 years earlier. And it might have worked 4 years ago, but it's not going to work now. It's too late. And I think everybody can see it. And so, like I say, I'm just waiting for the other shoe to drop.
Yeah, and if I could just add one more thing to that, and I'm sure you guys would agree. If Hillary Clinton had got in, you're right, this kind of delayed things, which is not a reason why they hated Trump so much. I think it's quite possible that Assad in Syria, you know, may well have been removed by now, or they would have at least tried. And I think we haven't really spoke about that so much. But the reality is that Vladimir Putin has prevented Assad in Syria from being removed in the same way that the US and Israel have done with everyone else that they've wanted to remove there. And this is the problem for them, because Israel sees Syria as, whether they are or not, it sees them as an enemy and a threat, and they want complete hegemony in that region. And Vladimir Putin has thrown a severe spanner in the works there. So, I mean, that's another factor I think we haven't really spoken about, but I don't think we should underestimate that, because they want to get rid of him.
Also, there was that footage. There was a lot of profanity and what have you in it, but so allegedly some Ukrainian soldiers, not Ukrainian, Russian soldiers, say this isn't about a war against Ukraine. This is about the survival of Christian Europe. Did either of you catch that clip?
No. Which side did that come from?
But I didn't hear it personally, but I did hear about it. And I think whoever said that is very astute.
Well, you know, Putin and Medvedev, I mean, someone came out, I was looking on.
Did this come from the Russian side?
Yeah, it was something that came out. They were talking, I believe. Yeah, it was something. I'm vague on it. Patrick's heard of it. I've seen a bit of it. But I've got something else here that's pretty current as of Monday anyway. And this is from Hal Turner's website, Hal Turner Radio Show. Medvedev tells Ukraine to cut back on cocaine and to negotiate before it loses sovereignty. And he's basically turned around here, according to this article, just opening it up. In the brief video below, Medvedev says Ukraine risks losing its sovereignty if it continues refusing to negotiate on what...
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
American Freedom News is your daily website that will keep you fully informed on what both the good guys and bad guys are doing in the information war in which we are all engaged. Fed up with the lies of the fake news media and the censorship of big tech giants? American Freedom News is the solution, as we provide truth and knowledge on all the vital issues of the day. American Freedom News believes in America first. The establishment wants us split into numerous hostile groups rather than uniting in a common cause against the corrupt oligarchy that is plundering America and the world. Many more Americans are waking up and realizing they are the victims of the ongoing Great Replacement and Great Reset. But the malevolent forces trying to systematically destroy America can and will be defeated. Be fully informed by reading American Freedom News, the best news and information site on the internet. Go to AmericanFreedomNews.us and find out for yourself. That's AmericanFreedomNews.us.
Around here, according to this article, just opening it up. In the brief video below, Medvedev says Ukraine risks losing its sovereignty if it continues refusing to negotiate on Moscow's terms. He also advised authorities in Kiev to cut back on cocaine use and approach key decisions with a sober mind. Well, there's been all this footage Jeff Rentz ran of Zelensky seemingly looking like he was bending over, taking cocaine, etc. And now we've got the Russian defense minister the deputy chairman of the National Security Council and former president of Russia basically saying the same thing. Any comments, gentlemen?
I don't have any proof that Zelensky takes coke, but people have sent me footage of him looking kind of whacked out, and so it's certainly a possibility. Why wouldn't it be? Think of Churchill. Churchill used to go to Washington, D.C. and would drink all night with President Roosevelt, right? I mean, that's not even a secret. Richard Nixon famously used to go to B.B. Rebozo's yacht in South Florida, and they would drink all night. Even President Clinton, he broke his leg, or what did he break his leg or broke a tendon or something when he fell down drunk on somebody's yacht. So these people are real people, and I wouldn't be surprised if Zelensky's doing a bunch of cocaine.
Yeah. Well, it's also ironic, and you know, that, you know, we're sold this idea that the Ukraine, you know, is this independent country. It's a democracy. I mean, one of the arguments you hear in the, you know, in conventional wisdom in the West is, which completely ignores geopolitical reality and is completely, you know, such a double standard, is the idea that, well, you know, the Ukraine has the right to determine its own future if it wants to be part of NATO and this type of thing. But the reality is that it's not independent. It's controlled by Washington. You have a guy there, Zelensky, who imprisons his political opponents. I mean, this country, you had a coup there where essentially, up until recently, you had evidence on YouTube of Victoria Nuland is essentially deciding who's going to be the next leader of the country. I mean, you know, it's just laughable that the country is either a democracy, free, or independent. But the irony is, if they keep this nonsense up, Putin's going to take more and more territory there. And really all he wanted was to have a neutral leadership in Ukraine, which actually would be independent and not hostile in any way to Russia. Or I guess, you know, if needs be, that he would, you know, put in his own sort of mini little puppet in there as well. But the country's on the verge of just being a complete, you know, completely failed state, you know. It makes no sense. Of course, we know that they think that this is somehow going to weaken Russia by dragging it all out, but all it's doing is actually threatening the sovereignty of Ukraine and resulting in more and more deaths and misery and destruction in the Ukraine as well. So,
yeah, I agree. And there's all sorts of strange things going on in front of us, never mind what's going on behind the scenes. But certainly I've never seen a nation so attacked on every level as I have with Russia, with, you know, banning tennis players from appearing at Wimbledon and all this sort of nonsense where, you know, it's and you look at it and you say to yourself, there's somebody who's very powerful that's not happy about what's going on here. OK, and there is images of Putin and, you know, Schwab said he was a world global leader. Well, you know, what was everyone else doing 20 years ago? Are we all the same people as we were 20 years ago? You know, that may well have gone on, but he may well have changed his position. So it seems to me that he's obviously doing something that they don't like, unless this is some grand plan. And I don't think that they're intelligent enough to pull it off, to essentially have Putin play the heel, as one would in a sort of WWE wrestling, in order that they can blame all the shortages that they've got planned for us in the West on him. So,
well, they're trying to.
Yeah, go ahead, Paul.
They're certainly trying. You had Ursula von der Leyen last week, who essentially came out and blamed, you know, with this emotional argument. I mean, the woman is intolerable to me, and she's inarticulate as well. She can barely string a sentence together. But she was saying that, you know, Putin is responsible for, you know, increasing starvation and hunger in Africa. And it's just like, did she really? The problem is, the European people are not as stupid as she thinks they are. They understand that the sanctions are going to affect Russia's exports, not only to Europe, but the other parts of the world, because it's not rocket science. So this, as I was saying to Patrick, on Thursday, this whole thing has the potential also to tear the whole European Union apart. And there's already a lot of disgruntled countries. Hungary doesn't want to be part of it. I think there's a huge amount of unrest in Italy about it as well. So you only need a couple of countries like Hungary and Italy to end up out of the EU, and the EU's dumb.
Yeah, that's right. And I have just regarding Putin and the World Economic Forum's Young Leader Program. Two things. One is that when they did this, I mean, the World Economic Forum, what does it go back to 1992 or something? And when they started,
sweet Leila Lee, heavenly flower.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules. Like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Your Feet. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead. And when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Extendivite testimonials on Amazon are very informative. Here's just a few. Carrie, great product, and I will continue to use. I've been taking it for over a year now. I'm 60 and feel great. I would highly recommend this product to anyone over the age of 40. Amazon customer, 5 stars. I'm quite happy about it. Extendivite has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs, and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. Amazon customer, 5 stars. Great product. I use regularly and I rarely get sick. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
You are my paradise completed.
Two things. One is that when they did this, I mean, the World Economic Forum, what does it go back to 1992 or something? And when they started this program, Putin was already too old for it. He wasn't a young leader. And so it was probably a misstatement by that Klaus Schwab guy anyway. But two, the young leader program, this is not like some sort of finishing school. This is just like an all-expenses-paid trip to Davos. And, you know, I mean, you could – how far is St. Petersburg from Davos? I mean, an all-expenses-paid trip to Davos, what is that really going to get somebody bound to your program for the rest of his life? I mean, come on. So, you know, there are these – I know Matsushita, like the person who started the – Panasonic company in Japan. He's got a finishing school for politicians where he pays them a stipend for a year or two to go and study policy. That's a big deal. But to have an all expenses weekend in Davos, Switzerland, that's not a big deal. You know, and lots of people go to conferences and, you know, we've seen even Putin in recent years go to conferences, to the Davos conference, and say exactly what they don't want him to say. That he says exactly what they don't want to hear. So, you know, some people get hung up by these little things. It's nothing. It means nothing.
Yeah, absolutely. And Patrick, is there any topics that you'd like to bring up today?
No, this is what I wanted to talk about, and I guess I've said my fill for the time being, so if you want to move on to something else, feel free.
Well, you said something, and it slipped my mind what you said to cause me to look this up, but I have it on good authority from Dr. Peter Hammond that Winston Churchill and Joseph Stalin once enjoyed a 27-course meal together. And as I've been looking that up, I've been finding how these people at these other gatherings, these sort of G8 conferences and that, are having sort of 18-course meals and stuff like that. So there's a real sort of curveball to throw in. Any comments on that, Paul? And then bring Patrick in, please.
Yeah, well, I want one of those. I'm going to have one of those. That's going on the bucket list. What, 27? Right, that's it. Was that over over a period of days? Nine courses?
Yeah, I was looking it up and I thought it was 18. And in the end, I just went to my website and I just typed course meal in. And it came up because I knew it was Peter Hammond that had told me. And Peter is an excellent researcher. And he said this in a show on the books of David Irving that he presented. But in the course of looking it up, I'll find some other information for you both. A lot more modern times, as I say, they were talking about 18-course meals at a G8 going back to 2006, 2008. So I couldn't find what I was looking for, but I'm satisfied that if Peter came up with this, that it's been properly researched and it did indeed happen. But I don't have the year or anything in my show post, unfortunately. So, Patrick, any thoughts on that? The what would you call it? The gluttony of the elites? You know, these same people that are telling us we have to eat bugs are doing stuff like this?
Well, I mean, this goes back to ancient history. I mean, you know, you have, like, they would have feasts. You could go into Greek stories about, you know, one side inviting the other for a feast. The American Indians in the Pacific Northwest, they used to have feasts. It was, you know, you would show off. One chief would just show off how opulent and successful he was by having some feast for, you know, other chiefs. This is something that's, you know, the human leaders have been doing since before recorded history.
Well, on a more serious note, this is also part of the problem in Europe, for example, and around the world with these sanctions on Russia. And these have just been ignored. I mean, some of the European leaders, you know, they've been really insulting the intelligence and patronizing the Europeans by telling them to have, you know, to have a lukewarm shower for 5 minutes. And then, you know, you can stick it to Putin while you're in there, you know, in your lukewarm shower. You know, and people are struggling to put fuel in their cars and feed their children.
Are they really saying stick it to Putin while you're in the shower? Because that sounds pretty obscene.
I heard one woman who was like some European mouthpiece, talking head or whatever, saying that, you know, this is a sacrifice for you know, for liberty and freedom for the Ukraine and for Europe, because, you know, if we don't defend the Ukraine, we'll be next. So you have to make our sacrifices, you know, and if you're going to be worried about, you know, not having enough cheap oil and gas from Russia, and you just have to have a lukewarm shower and spend 5 minutes in there instead of 10 minutes, you know, you can be proud of yourself or you're sticking it to Putin. I mean, this is what this woman said. I mean, and as I say, people, all things being equal, as much as we care about, you know, we might not, nobody wants anybody suffering in war, but when it comes to whether you can, you know, put fuel in your car and whether you can feed your family, well, I'm sorry, that comes first. And the inflation, and it was going through the roof anyway, surprise, surprise, with the fiscal and, you know, and economic policies of the central banks and the European Union and everything else, same here. And the whole, you know, Russia-Ukraine situation, the sanctions just exacerbated it. They are trying to, they're biting off so much, and their attempts to chew it is embarrassing and insulting. You know, so it's absurd what they're attempting to do with this. And you've only seen the beginning of the unrest in Europe. But of course, as I say, you don't get reports on it. You have to sort of dig a little bit, and then you'll find out about these protests and things like that in Europe against the whole thing, you know?
Yeah, indeed. And I've got something for you here, folks. Patrick and Paul are talking about all the sensible and intellectual geopolitical stuff, and I'm telling you about 27 or 18 course meals. But I do have this from the Daily Mail, July 2008, summit that's hard to swallow. World leaders enjoy 18-course banquet. And apparently Gordon Brown, just 2 days ago, so back in July 2008, he was urging us all to stop wasting food and combat rising prices and a global shortage of provisions. But yesterday, the Prime Minister and other world leaders sat down to an 18-course gastronomic extravaganza at a G8 summit in Japan, which is focusing on the food crisis. It's weird, isn't it? Because I wasn't aware of a global food crisis back in 2008. I certainly am now. It seems to me like they're rolling out the same playbook, well, which is
Go ahead. And also, Janet Yellen came out, actually, was it last week, and said, oh, well, actually, I was wrong. You know, I got confused, you know. I mean, the inflation's not transitory after all. I mean, this woman's the treasury of the secretary, or the secretary of the treasury. And she was, of course, the Fed chair. So we're really supposed to believe that there's either two problems here. She's either completely incompetent, in which case, what's she doing in that position, where she actually admits, oh, well, you know, I got confused. You know, it looks like this inflation is not transitory after all. Or, which is more likely, you know, it's a deliberate looting operation. And, of course, to my mind, there's no doubt about that. They know exactly what they're doing. That's why they took control of the U.S. money supply in the first place. It's just been a daylight robbery operation, and it's such a big elephant in the room that people just can't see it.
Patrick, any thoughts?
You know, people have been predicting hyperinflation for a long time because there's been such an increase in the money supply. And there has been an increase in the money supply. Massively, and yet there wasn't hyperinflation. And you know, I've explained that the way I see it, you didn't get the hyperinflation because you get inflation when you get an imbalance of supply and demand of goods. If there's too much demand for a good and not enough supply, then the price will rise. And although we've had all this money printing over the past several years and accelerating, people weren't buying more goods, and so you weren't getting inflation in consumer products. But you were getting massive inflation in assets because so much of this printed money, it wound up in the hands of people who didn't need more tennis shoes or didn't need more lumber, didn't need more milk, but they wanted a lot more real estate or stock, and so that's where it was going. And even now, it's not as if there's too much. There's like an increase in demand for these things, but I think what really started the inflation going was the decrease in supply because of the COVID stuff, the COVID nonsense, and now the war in Ukraine. But it started before that. So you had the so-called supply chain issues. You didn't have the supply. Now you're getting the consumer price increases, and with this consumer price increases, it causes an increase in wage hikes. So wage earners need more to live on, and once that happens, then you get the vicious cycle. And I guess we're there now.
Yeah, we are there now. And also the COVID thing, you had a massive drop in production because people were just sitting at home, so they're not producing to the same extent. They're not actually adding anything to the economy. They're just printing up money, you know, and it's just like, if you could do that, I remember at the time, you know, thinking, well, if it works in a crisis, so-called crisis, well, why not just do it all the time then? And of course, the reason we don't do it all the time is because it doesn't work. And I resent paying the extra prices for groceries because I didn't support any of it from the start, any of the fiscal and economic policies around COVID. It was a disaster in waiting. It was just a matter of time. But yet a lot of these hypocrites, these sanctimonious middle classes and upper middle classes who like to think they're helping the poor all the time, they can afford to pay £1.75 instead of £1.45 for some butter, or £1.70 for 2 liters of milk, which was £1.20 before COVID. people who are on low wages, poor people that they claim to be the, you know, the actors of, they can't afford that. They just can't. And so, as usual, you know, they support policies which they think are, you know, it makes them feel good, but they don't suffer. It's the people, the very people that they claim to want to help that actually do the suffering. And it is making an impact. As I say, even in, you know, Aldi over here, Andy, and Aldi's usually, you know, a bit cheaper than Tesco or Sainsbury's and things like that. Butter has gone up by 25p. You're not talking about 3 pence or 8 pence. It's like gone from 145 to, like, I think I said 173 for butter now up there. You know, it's, I mean, that stuff matters.
Yeah, it's funny. I mean, I've got a couple of examples. Some potato chips that I like, you go in the pound shop and they've been a pound for six for years. And then only a few weeks ago, I've got my 4 pounds ready because I bought four lots in the counter. They're 125 each now because I'd been trying to get them for weeks, and for about 6 weeks, they didn't have them, you know, with these shortages a few months ago. And then the same thing, a pizza that I get in a supermarket, it's been £2 for years, and suddenly only a few weeks ago it's gone from £2 to £2.50. So the inflation for me is going at least 25%. We know that again, they make money out of that, and it's the people at the bottom that have to suffer. And also it's the likes of an RBN. Many people in the independent media, I've heard so many different people on different stations that are struggling financially, because of course these people are going to put their content out pretty much whatever, and those who are able to support them financially do. But of course, if suddenly they've their money's worth 25% less what it was, well, they're not going to be able to go to the supermarket and say, look, can you give me some of that for free, because it's gone up. But the likes of people who rely on donations like RBN are going to suffer. And so that's another benefit. I'm not saying this was worked out for that reason, obviously not, but it's another knock-on effect that certain people, and you can't blame the people out there because they're going to need to economize where they can. Yeah, there's all sorts of things linked to that. Any comments on that, Paul? Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, Rishi Sunak, of course, this is again, you know, a so-called conservative government where you might expect some sort of more conservative fiscal policies. You know, in response to, you know, they're not denying the inflation. In response to that, he's recently announced what was a further six and a half billion pound package this year to, you know, to help people with, you know, extra fuel costs and things like that. I mean, so, you know, this is how they think they're going to deal with inflation, by just printing up £6.5 billion and handing it out. It's just like someone who's on a major hangover or coming off a big drug binge. And you pretend that you love them by saying, okay, there's more alcohol. I mean, yeah, that'll deal with it temporarily. But when you eventually want to face that hangover, it's going to be even worse. The more you keep drinking, the more you keep taking that cocaine to delay the ultimate hangover, the worse it's going to be when you have to face it. So that's all that's happening here. But of course, it's not politically popular to, you know, to want to say, well, we have to pull back now. We can't keep printing money because that's what led to the problem in the first place, you know. So they're just going to keep doing it, and it's just going to be an absolute nightmare. I can't see how this is going to get any better. And people are wondering where they should put their money at the minute, whether to buy gold, whether to go into crypto, what to go into. I think I'm putting any extra money I have into food and as soon as I can, because the food price is going to be worse in a year's time and probably even worse in 2 years from now as well, you know?
Absolutely. And I'll just take us over quickly to one I started the show with before the doorbell startled everybody, including myself. I'm sorry about that, folks. I've tried to turn it down, but it doesn't have that facility. Anyway, it says Daily Mail headline from Monday yesterday. Is the West End going broke because it's gone all woke? A Prince Charming who spurns cinders for the Duke? A Jane Austen play that flaunts the F word? No wonder theatres are struggling to fill their seats, writes Christopher Hart. So I've highlighted some bits here. I'll read you a couple of bits. It refers to how woke Hollywood has reimagined Star Wars, Disney stories and Marvel characters only to produce flop after flop. And I'm going to give you some examples here. Andrew Lloyd Webber's Cinderella is a shining example of woke. Prince Charming is gay. Eventually he runs off with a handsome duke and Cinderella ends up with another fellow called Sebastian. And then we move on to more okay, challenging.
Wait a minute. Cinderella's Prince Charming is gay.
Correct, yes.
He doesn't look gay.
Well,
that's a,
yeah.
Go ahead, Paul.
Well, you're having this constant attack on the White West, and so they're always rewriting, you know, even I think, was it Hansel and Gretel? I think, which is a Denmark, you know, old folklore, you know, they're always inserting black characters into this. And this is, you know, I think.
Are they trans kids?
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
You know that nothing beats a storable food stockpile for readiness, but there are two problems with storable food. It's expensive, and eventually, it runs out. Then what? What happens to you or your family when there's not enough food to go around? In a true survival scenario, you need a renewable food source. That's why Seed Armory has developed a survival-grade seed vault that can produce over $25,000 worth of crops from just one kit. Unlike other seed vaults, we don't inflate our seed counts with fillers. All our seeds are 100% heirloom and non-GMO. Not a green thumb? Don't worry. We've written an easy-to-follow guide to guarantee your success from planting to harvest. For a limited time, we're offering an additional 10% off your order when you enter the code RBN at checkout. Go to seedarmory.com. That's seedarmory.com. Don't wait. Like everything else, seeds are in short supply.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
Denmark, you know, old folklore, you know, they're always inserting black characters into this. And I think
Hansel and Gretel, are they trans kids?
I think one of them is. I think the other one's gender fluid. I don't know.
Non-binary.
You know, yeah, that's it. Non-binary. So they're constantly.
Would have helped them more.
Yeah. So it's not enough just to wreck us demographically and to wipe us out and commit genocide against us. They have to like make sure there's no stone left unturned and rewrite us out of history as well in our folklore and our tales. I mean, it's like it's only a matter of time. You know the story of Rapunzel. We all learned it in primary school. Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your hair. She had like this really long blonde hair in the tale. You know, how long is it before we see Rapunzel, Rapunzel, let down your afro?
Well, on that note, I've got a couple more examples. Just a bit more about the Pride and Prejudice. It had such groundbreaking moments as Elizabeth Bennet rejecting Mr. Collins' marriage proposal by telling him to F off. And guess what? It too closed early and is off tour circuit. And then here's a couple more examples. One about the recent play Sylvia at the Old Vic, a 3-hour-long feminist hip-hop musical about the suffragette Sylvia Pankhurst, with an almost entirely black cast playing the historically white characters, including Winston Churchill. Of course, the trend for race-blind casting can be righteously successful. Take the musical Hamilton, for example, with young black, Asian, Latino and mixed-race actors playing America's white founding fathers. So there's a couple more examples. Patrick, any thoughts on that?
So I saw that, not in the theater, but I saw like some bootleg version of it. And the only white character is King George. And boy, oh boy, did that make me want to be a loyalist. He was the only sympathetic character on the stage. He was the only person you could understand.
Yeah. But... Well, it's not a surprise, though, that they're, you know, this is losing, you know, people not wanting to watch it, because it's just it's so, I think probably the vast majority of black people look at that and think, you know, what the hell? I mean, I don't know. People understand on some level, even if they haven't explored it, they understand this is not right. I mean, what is going on here? You know, it's just absurd.
Well, we've had situations of white people playing black characters, but at least they had the courtesy to black up so that they would look like them. But obviously, when you have black characters playing white people from history, the same does not apply. So, yeah, and we've got to... I may as well throw this in. I wasn't going to, but we've only got 2 or 3 minutes left. The reason that my doorbell went was I had the delivery of... the A-Team Ultimate Collection Blu-ray set with a limited hand-signed photo of Dirk Benedict and Dwight Schultz and some featurettes only available in this 1,000 copy limited box set. So in the 2 or 3 minutes we have available on this show, Patrick, any thoughts on the A-Team? Did you ever watch that or not interested?
I named my dog after Mr. T.
That's true.
You know why? Because
nope.
He pitied the fool. He pitied the fool.
because he
had a big black mohawk.
Yeah, we're coming up, Patrick. I'm anxious that we might be coming up to the end of your time. If you want to close your one out or keep talking, it's up to you.
Thank you, Paul and Andy. And I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National Beagle Radio.
Gonna wait till the cows come home to get your new Ease-Off drop-in lift?
What in the world is an Ease-Off drop-in lift?
Our Ease-Off is a new tool to increase production for your meat processing company that will get that whole hog or half a beef on or off your rail with our remote control.
That sounds great, but can I afford it?
Sure, and the Ease-Off installs fast. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue, speed up your line, and increase profits.
Okay, I'm convinced. Where can I get my Ease-Off?
Go to easeoff.com. That's EAZEOFF.com. And hurry, because we're offering free shipping for a limited time. Ease-Off.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
Ease-Off, LLC. 417-932-6419.
You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today, because you can handle the truth.